personally, I thought it was rather tame because it's only a misdemeanor. There's only a maximum fine of $1,000 or a maximum fine of a year in jail. There's no minimum fine whatsoever. So I thought it was a little I thought it should have been a little stronger, but then I thought this is a first effort. And then also we talked about the religious exemption. I don't know if you want to talk about that now, but
yes,
I can tell you
yes.
I can tell you my thinking about it. First of all, anybody, you know, major religions, Coptic Christians, Muslims, and Jews, this is a part of their culture or religion for some of its practitioners, not all of them. But anyone could come up and say, well, I have my own religion and this is my belief, and my belief is that this needs to be done. I need to circumcise my child. So it would really have no effect whatsoever. It would be pointless to have a religious exemption. And the second, and I feel most strongly about that, if this is bad for one person, it's bad for everyone, and it actually would be discriminatory not to protect all children till they can make their choice when they grow up to be an adult. So I really came at it from that angle, that it was discriminatory against a child because of who they were. They should be protected just as everyone else would.
Well, you've just gone a good ways towards answering my next question, because I just talked to a First Amendment specialist who often does legal work for religious groups of all kinds. And just speaking to him this morning, he said that that very phrase will make it easy to kill the law in court, because whenever you have a First Amendment constitutional challenge, the court takes into does what's called a balancing assessment, where they try to balance the interest of the state against the free practice of religion enshrined in the First Amendment of the Constitution. So I guess the question I'm putting to you here, from a practical, from a logistic, from a strategic standpoint, did anybody say, you know, even if we pass this bill, it'll die in court?
Oh, we talked about the legal aspect, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But when you talk about what is actually done during circumcision, people who have witnessed them know, but I think most people don't realize what a severe operation it is. Can I talk about that for a little back? This is leading into the legal argument. You know, the foreskin at birth is fused to the head of the penis. This is natural. This is normal. This is a protective measure. It allows for an outflow of urine and protects from an inflow of contamination. So it's there for a reason, should never be retracted. The first thing in a circumcision, the foreskin is ripped from the head of the penis. It's physically connected, like a nail to a nail bed. Once that is ripped off, everybody says, oh, yes, it's a little bit of skin, but the percentage is great. It's 50% or more of the most erogenous tissue on the penis. And what's removed translates into about 15 square inches of skin in an adult. So it's quite substantial. Fortunately, in this country, we have laws protecting women from female genital mutilation, and I don't think people realized how widely practiced it was in the United States. It was so widely practiced that it was covered by Blue Cross up until 1970, and it was practiced for the same reasons medically, because it was neater, it was cleaner, there weren't little folds for dirt and viruses and things to hide in. And this is one of the reasons why there was a bill, a federal bill, protecting females from even having one drop of blood drawn from their genitals. That is a felony to do that. So right there under the Equal Protection Clause, you can very easily argue that what is done to infants and children, male children, is certainly much more invasive and extreme than drawing one drop of blood. So under the Equal Protection Clause, I think there's a good background there, and this is what we were thinking of. You talk about freedom from religion, but freedom of religion, but parents don't have the right to harm their child, and this is physical harm. You can make them go to Sunday school or synagogue. When I grew up, I got made to go to Sunday school. I wasn't too happy about that, but it was okay. That's different. You can't physically harm a child, just like Christian Scientists cannot withhold medical treatment from their child when the child attains an age where they can make a reasoned decision from their themselves, and they can go before a court and say, I understand what the consequences of this, and I do not want to take this treatment, then it's the child's decision that is taken into account. But prior to the child giving consent, you cannot cause physical harm to your child. You know, these are physical examples. When you go to more general examples, the Mormons, polygamy was a very important part of their religion, and that was not upheld either, so they had to give up. So it'll be an interesting argument when we get there, but we thought about it quite a bit. But I'm not a lawyer, so...